Hello and welcome everyone to this brand new and live show that we are calling This Week in Magic. I am your host, as always. This is Tom. You may remember me formerly of Monday Night Magic. Hosted on there for a long time, 5, maybe 6 years, a ridiculously long amount of time. But as everyone may know, or if you're listening to the show, you probably know, is about a year ago, I disappeared. I took a little bit of a hiatus. We had a baby, which is at the same time really hard, weird, but also pretty awesome. But she's approaching her first year birthday, so life starts to settle into a bit of routine. And I started finding I was getting a little down. Finally figured out I missed podcasting. Monday Night Magic is in the fantastic hands of Jack and Chewy right now. So that really wasn't the place for me, and also I just can't stay up that late to record on a regular basis. If anybody there has young kids, they wake up incredibly early. And once they're up, you're up for the day because they require constant vigilance. Otherwise, those things are going to take themselves out within a matter of minutes. So trying to go through, I am a casual player, just trying to think how I could best return and what could bring to the podcasting world again that would at least be somewhat interesting. I like to talk. I like to talk with other people, and I do love to do things that are live in nature. So I said, hey, let's do a live call-in show and see how things go. So each week we'll be going through, if there's interesting news bits, not every single one, but we'll bring those up. I'm hopefully going to be able to line up some callers or guest hosts for each week to go through the topic at hand. So I'm going to be hitting up some of the old pro players you used to know, Conley, the main one. Hopefully have him on a quasi-regular basis to talk about, you know, current events, what's hot in either modern, standard, whatever the draft, block, constructive, whatever seems to be the hot thing right now, have them come in and talk about it. And also we're going to have a point, too, in the show where you can either call in or ask questions. So for this week, it was a really slow week for news. Not a ton to talk about. There is a new F&M promo, Jotaxian Probe. People, as always, are angry if it's not in standard, if it's not a card that's in rotation. But I think the art looks okay. Of course, some people are going to love the new art, some people are going to hate the new art. But it's a card that's played in a lot of decks, very popular in Delver. So, hey, why not? There you go. My big question this week is I actually want feedback from you, the listeners. Is, as a dad gamer, it starts to get harder and harder to take the time to go hit a real life, say, F&M or playgroup. Because you have to, you know, make sure that somebody's watching the kids. You have to drive to your local game store, you know, wait for people to show up, get those games started. You have to drive home. That's an entire night. And often you don't get a lot of those to yourself. So something like playing more MTGO became really interesting. But I also realized I have no idea where things are at right now for Magic the Gathering Online. And also, too, is if you are a player that has a lot of paper Magic cards and you are returning to playing some MTGO, and I played initially when it first came out for a very short amount of time and have dabbled for a day or two here and there over the last number of years, is, A, what is the best, I don't want to say the best format to play an MTGO, but if I'm coming there, you know, I'm not planning to grind into the MOC or anything else like that, and that's going to be one source of my questions today. I just want there to play some games and have some fun. Should I be focusing on things like draft? Should I be playing it whatever the hot format is, be it standard or modern? Should I be focusing on commander, which you can now play there? What seems to be the best potential use of my time online? Second is, boy, I'm trying to think how to put this nicely, is the few times before when I logged in and played, I was just hopping into the general free-for-all rooms. This was not the tournament testing theme rooms, but it was just jumping in to play some random games. And of course, you can have some people playing high-powered Tier 1 decks. That I don't mind getting smashed. That's completely fine. That's part of playing Magic. But one of the reasons I play Magic is that you can actually interact with somebody to, you know, have fun, enjoy a game. And I can now see why, for a long time, I always badmouthed MTGO for not having a built-in chat client. Now, after testing out a couple of games, I can see why they don't involve a pre-set up chat channel. Because in some ways, it was like the very brief experience I had with Xbox Live, where really it amounted, instead of being verbal, such as an Xbox Live, this was typed, verbal written harassment. Horrible things. And I used to do the Don't Google This segment, where I said, don't Google this word, it's really gross. That's honestly where I picked up a couple of those. It's like, I don't know what space docking is. I should go look that one up. You're like, ugh! That is disgusting. Why would you ever say something like that to me, a criminal, or any other human being out there? So my question from this is, what's the best way to start building, maybe, I don't know if you want to call it a friend group, there's the clans. What's the best way to not be some just creepy dude that's randomly approaching people through a chat window saying, will you be my friend? I don't see that working very well to maybe meet the people that you actually want to play Magic with online. So should I completely avoid the random, just match me with a random opponent? Should I only play with people that I'm friends with, or if I join a clan, only other clan members? What ways have you found to be the best way to deal with this? If you're listening to the BIA poster recording of this, please email me any thoughts at PITIMP@mtgcast.com. So I would love to hear your thoughts with this. And also right now is I have a choice. I went to download the client, and you have choices for this. Is you have the wide beta client, or you have the classic client. I actually downloaded the beta client, because usually it seems like beta is better, and it seems to look really nice. Is there things that I can't do in the beta client that I potentially could do in the old client? From a gameplay standpoint, it sure seemed better that the new beta client seemed much better than I can remember of the old client. It seemed to run faster, even though I may have newer hardware than the last time I tried to play this, but it seemed to be a smoother user experience than I remember from the old one. And I've heard Chris is from MTGO Academy has joined us in the chat window. Hopefully he'll be calling in very soon, and I'm going to read out the call-in number right now, just in case he wants to. It's area code 347-996-3628. So if you are listening live or in the chat window, you can actually call in. We'll be doing the free-for-all calling later on. But for Chris, again, 347-996-3628, because Chris is an MTGO expert, and he's going to help me wade through all of my newbie questions coming from an old man. And being an old person, you need help sometimes. This is one of the things I definitely need help with. And also wanted to say thank you. We had a listener from a long time, is actually in the local area, Jim, who also helped send in some extra questions to bolster out my list a little bit. And we were talking before about potential the best formats to play. Inherently, I want to try to find something that is the most interesting thing to play. Maybe a format that you can only play on MTGO. So this is where I'm going to just want to bring up about the power queue that's coming up for the holidays. But here, let me bring on, I believe this is Chris. So area code 317, you are coming online right now. Chris,
hello, Tom.
Chris.
Yes, this is Chris.
Hello, Chris. Well, thank you very much for calling in, because I feel kind of bad for you, because I know jack and squat about playing MTGO right now.
Well, I can help you with questions pertaining to the general experience and the old client, but not so much the beta client.
Okay, and so, to be honest, that's fine. Most of my questions really is just like you said, the experience and maybe the community right now, kind of how best to get into that.
Well, as you touched on, the average player that you might run into on Magic Online is a little bit less than courteous, or maybe they're just shy and they don't want to talk to you, or antisocial. I'm not quite sure. But it seems like the ones that want to talk usually don't have a lot of pleasant things to say.
Yeah, it's like if you spoke like that in a movie theater, you'd leave with teeth missing. Like old people would attack you in the movie theater if you said those things.
Was this experience in the casual room for you?
Casual room and hitting the, it was basically playing video chat roulette. I was like, pick random opponent in the casual room.
Well, my experience playing casual Magic Online is a little weird because I like to play decks that are probably not very fun and shouldn't just be played against a random opponent. So the games are... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
Oh, no, no. When you say decks aren't fun to play against, are you meaning they're like high tier one tourney decks or decks that are just boring? Like, what would make a deck not fun to play against in the casual room? So I don't do something like that.
Well, for me, I like to rehash old archetypes like Kai's Wildfire deck, only with blue for upheaval or something like that. So just kind of live... Casual for me is kind of living down memory lane of Magic's past.
Okay.
And those decks are usually pretty competitive, or they have been at some point.
So, Chris, we're going to... And, Chris, why don't you just quickly maybe introduce yourself completely and just, you know, kind of say which... Yeah, I can't mention which website you're, but just, you know, kind of what website you're from, sort of what, you know, what your site's about, kind of what your sort of focus is on MTGO, just so people know why you know more than I do.
All right. I have been playing MTGO since about version 3 came out, which I think is 2009. I log on probably almost daily. The site that I represent is MTGO Academy, and we are an MTGO specialty site focused mostly on like beginner tutorials, and then we have general like draft content. Marshall from Limited Resources posts weekly videos, and then we have like some other regulars that post content on our site. But I have been buying and selling Magic Online cards for pretty much the entire time that I got back into the program, and have an ungodly amount of man hours logged using the version 3 client, the non-beta client.
Okay. And so from your site, Chris, again, we'll leave the choice of clients. So you can be playing beta, the old client, whichever one you're using.
Mm-hmm.
I know Paper Magic. I know how to play the game. I am coming to MTGO. I've downloaded my client. I have it installed. If you're using the classic client, it's downloaded roughly 100 gigs in random updates and packs, so you're not sure exactly what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
What should be my first step? I'd say I'm completely new. I've never bought a card on MTGO. Where would you recommend a brand new virgin player to it start? Because that's in some ways sort of where I'm acting at right now.
Well, the first thing I would do is read a lot. When you get the new account, it comes with like a new account package that you get to open up, and it has a few different items in it. You mentioned that you had an old account, so I'm not sure if you had this experience. Like, did you make a new account when you...
I'm going to, actually.
Okay. Well, the new account packages come with a few different items meant to segue you into the Magic Online experience. And this is actually something that is relatively new, and I think that the Magic Online team at Wizards has done a good job of constructing something to get people more into the interface. It has four what they call new player tickets. An event ticket is the Magic Online currency and also how you play in the constructed and limited tournaments on Magic Online, for those that don't know. And these new player tickets are like an untradeable event ticket that you can use to play in special limited events for only new accounts. It's one ticket per event, and they have like a promo as like a Friday Night Magic promo as a prize. I think it's Pillar of Flame right now.
Very cool, actually.
So, but when you open this new account, you get, for these new player tickets, two normal event tickets, which is basically like $2 USD. And that's what you use to buy cards in the client from other players or our tournament entry, as I said. And then you get like a smattering of base set commons or core set commons. So right now it's M13 and some uncommons.
That's nice.
And then you get a booster pack, which is the most recent core set, so M13 again. And you get a Planeswalker format deck, which, if you remember the the World Championship decks, how they're gold bordered.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not legal in tournament play. Planeswalker format packs are basically the same thing. So it's a bunch of gold bordered cards that are not usable in tournaments. And they're actually based off of the Duels of the Planeswalker, like Xbox, Steam, PlayStation 3, whatever game.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So it's a nice tie-in for like the different products if you're coming from that.
Kind of maybe trying to
the same card.
Transition people and maybe kind of learn the game from that Duels of the Planeswalker experience, be it mm-hmm. PC, well, I guess probably PC for those players, but maybe on their Xbox as well.
Yeah.
Well, so, sounds like they give a lot more help than you used to, which was,
mm-hmm.
I think you got nothing. I pretty much remember correctly when you first started up your account, there wasn't a whole lot in there.
Well, when I first made an account, which was, I believe, like Saviors or Betrayers of Kamigawa, you got a $9.99 gift certificate to use in the store to buy whatever you want, because you basically were buying the account for $9.99, and then they just passed it on to choose whatever you want. So that's actually, that's a better value right now in terms of what you get, because it's still $10 to get a new account, but you don't get roughly $10 worth of secondary market items anymore.
Okay, so for me to open a new account, I'm going to be paying $10. It's not, I just mm-hmm. don't download the client and I'm in, bang, like that.
Well, you download the client, and they used to have like a free-to-play demo where you could play core set theme decks against each other, where you've, like when you download it and you go to log in, there's like a trial link and you just click it and your name is like Magic Player 853262 or something generic like that, and you could test the interface, and that's free. But if you want to have your own account and actually leave this trial room, and then it's $10.
Okay. And this is a burning question, Chris. This actually came up from Jay Kirkman in the chat window. I will be completely sold to give them $10 that when I open up the gold border cards, Jay is saying that they go off like a confetti bomb in your collection folder. Is that true? If the answer is yes, Wizards, that is, you've made it a perfect choice, and tonight you'll be getting 10 of my dollars.
When you open up the
I just imagine like Rip Torn is jumping out of your screen, throwing confetti in the air. Woo! Do you know who Rip Torn is?
No, I do not.
Oh! I'm pretty sure if you know who Rip Torn is, that it defines your age range as being older. I'm going to pull up a little bit more about Rip Torn, because he's awesome. Keep going.
Right now or later?
Oh, I'm going to do it right now, because I'm learning. I'm multitasking.
Okay. Well, when you open up the cards, there's like a new card window that displays everything that has been added to your collection. And if I remember right, they still have that soothing like pack opening noise that someone recorded probably deep in the depths of their rented office, and just like a nice tearing noise. But the Planeswalker pack, which Mr. Richmond actually brought up, I believe.
Okay.
Once you open it, it's stuck on your account, and it is very annoying, which is something I should have gotten to, but I got a little bit sidetracked. All the cards are untradeable, and right now there's no feature that I know of that you can use to remove them. You might be able to email Wizards customer support, but don't quote me on that. I have not tried it.
Oh, like say I don't want these. It might just destroy them permanently. Can you rip them up Iron Man style out of my collection?
No, they do not have a trash can feature in your collection. So that's actually something that is pretty annoying for a lot of people. Like once your collection gets so big, you just have all of these cards that you're never going to use, and the only way you can get rid of them is trading them, which the trading interface leaves something to be desired.
And that's how they will come. I want to see if it's changed at all. But just to Chris, you're going to learn today too, because I guarantee you've seen Rip Torn. Have you seen any of the Men in Black movies?
Yes,
I have. He's the chief. He's Zed.
Okay.
We run on Alpha Centauri in time. It's a 36-hour day. Either get used to it or you have a schizophrenic episode.
He's a man with a dapper goatee or something like that.
Yes,
if I remember correctly.
And also, if you've seen Dodgeball with Vince Vaughn, he plays Patches O'Houlihan.
Okay.
So that's Rip Torn. He's pretty awesome. All right. So you kind of walked me through. I'm into the game. It sounds like you actually get a. Sounds like you're much more well prepared now to actually play some random games. Where you actually sounds like you have a usable card pool to start from.
Yes.
And you can
also play limited right off the bat for free. Which I think is very appealing.
No, the cards that you get out of those, I guess, sort of new player events, are those cards that you get to keep, or are they going to be a phantom event like a cube or something like that?
They are the same phantom style of event as the cube, and that's why they're free.
Okay.
So it's like it's the current base set, limited, and you can either play sealed or draft, and after the event, the cards just vanish. They used to have a Phantom event weekly, and I'm not sure if they do that anymore once they instated this new player ticket. I've not kept up with that. I don't believe I remember seeing it anymore in the event room. But they used to have these Phantom events for people to try drafting and not have to spend the $14, or roughly $14 that a draft costs.
Okay. And if you were to say, boy, it's tough because I'm trying to come to this. I'm from a player that knows Magic but is new to the online experience for it. Say I'm starting to want to get more into, we'll say, Construct events, be it Standard or Modern. If I want to start to grow my base card pool, do you feel it's best to try to just get those cards via packs and event tickets from limited events? Is it maybe better to get some, you kind of mentioned bot credit or event tickets, and buy those from card stores, say like MTGO Academy? What do you feel would be a best place to start for somebody to start building that core collection where you may not have a whole lot of stuff yet?
It really depends on your budget and how much you want to play limited. Limited on Magic Online can be somewhat affordable or very expensive. I got in playing Magic Online because I wanted to draft whenever I wanted to draft and not have to try to scrounge up seven other willing individuals, which I believe is the appeal for a lot of people. But if you're looking to play Constructed and you have like some of your favorite casual decks, I would just buy the cards. The marketplace is very cumbersome, and you need to do a decent amount of research because the Magic market, it's nearing an efficient market, so there are market prices, and if you do research, you'll figure out that, like, I'm trying to think of a good example. I guess that probably a good example is just any bulk rare. Like in paper, a dealer will pay like 11 or 12 cents or something, whatever it is now, I'm not quite sure, for a bulk rare. But in Magic Online, most dealers will sell bulk rares for 5 cents a piece.
Really?
And that's just like, that's one of the more striking differences. The cards that are not heavily played are very, very cheap. Like, if you go to your local card shop, what a common is usually like 10 or 25 cents, no matter what it is. On Magic Online, you can find bots that sell like 100 commons for $1, or even more sometimes.
Okay, so that could be a pretty decent way if you're just looking to very generally build a card pool, but if you're looking to play, say, maybe more competitive standard, you probably should just start with buying the cards for the deck archetype that you want to be playing for the season.
Exactly. If you have a specific deck that you want to play, just before you do anything, like play limited, you can buy that deck, and then the way that all of the prizes for the events are just in packs, so then you can win the packs to play limited if you want to play limited, or you can win packs and sell them, and then use those tickets that you sell the packs for to buy an additional deck or something.
So
I was just going to say that Norbert, Jonathan Richmond, has a good suggestion, MTGO Library. .com. It's like an aggregate site that aggregates the prices from a lot of the small-time dealers It's not always completely up to date, but it'll give you a good idea of what like a market price for a buy and sell for a card is.
Okay, so this would be like in the old days of checking your scribe before you did a trade.
Well, yes, or now it's more like using TCG Player.
Okay, because yeah, again, sort of a large aggregate card pool to compare to. And then, like I said, we talk about playing, you know, things like Standard, Modern, Limited. I'm also kind of interested in game formats that can really only be done through MTGO. This is something I may never be able to do even in Paper Magic if I wanted to. And they started running, they did the experiment with running a cube draft. And everybody got really excited when they announced this 2012 holiday powered cube draft. Because, I mean, they've made it pretty inflammatory. They have this post of, which card would you pick from this pack? And it's got a Lotus and five Moxen, an Ancestral Recall, a Time Walk, I think a Time Twister, Mind Twist. Honestly, they did a pretty good job of saying, hey, from December 19th to January 2nd, they're going to be having this, I'm calling it the Powered Cube. I'm not sure what their official name will be for this thing, where you can draft with this just absolutely crazy card pool. And of course, this is something that, unless you have a friend that has all these cards and lets you touch them, I'll never get to experience that in life. So this might be my one of those chances to actually do that.
Yes.
Chris, did you... Yeah, go ahead. I just want to know if you had played in the previous cube. I read up about how they have like cube tickets, and it seemed a little confusing to me.
Well, they tested out the Phantom event infrastructure with the new player events, and I guess when they figured out that they weren't just gifting accounts tons of free cards, they implemented the first iteration of the cube, which, if I believe... Tom Lapilli, I think is how you say his last name, like built this in paper, and they just went around to Seattle car shops and played with locals and got feedback until they felt like they had a solid list without power at the time. And then they announced it on Magic Online, and the prizes, it was a Phantom event, so you draft whatever you want and you don't get to keep the cards, but it had like all of the valuable mythics, all the dual lands, all of the Onslaught and Zendikar fetch lands. So, like, tons of valuable cards. And if you won, you just got returned to Ravnica. I'm not quite sure what the set was, but you got whatever the current standard set was in prizes. And then they realized that that completely tanked the value of packs in the secondary market. Okay. And while Wizards says that they don't care a lot about that, then they realized it was bad for like the program as a whole, and they switched it to an out-of-print booster block.
Yeah, so, that's what they're doing. Urza and Masks basically looks like for the Holiday Cube.
Yeah, so if you have any desire to play old limited formats, that's one thing that you can do on Magic Online for relatively cheap, like... I don't know how much a pack of Urza Saga is, but I reckon that it's more than you or I would want to pay for it in paper. But on Magic Online, they have these events like every few months or every quarter. And then they, since they had the cube and it was so popular, all these packs were coming in the system, but you couldn't cube again with the packs that you won because you win Onslaught packs. The cube is this Phantom, like, special cube pack. They decided to try this cube ticket system, which I think has had a pretty mixed review from people. Like, I didn't play the last cube cycle, partially because of it, but also because I'm pretty busy. And when I play Magic, I want to really enjoy it. And I kind of got worn out with the way the cube was. But, like, I'll play the powered cube. That seems really fun.
Yes, especially when I'm not very good at drafting, even with newer sets, so I... You know, where would I start to first pick cards out of that card pool would just be, woo, I don't know, whatever. Drawing cards sounds good.
You just do it to see what the combination of cards you end up with plays like. There is strategy, but it's just fun to say, ooh, this card looks neat, and then build a deck from all those neat cards and see how you do. They also have Swiss events.
Yeah, Swiss and Swiss and single elimination looked like is what they're going to have for this time around.
Yeah, and the Swiss events, like, I was going to mention this at some point, but if you're going to play normal limited or cube limited and you just want to play limited, that's your goal for joining the event, not to have the most competition and have the possible or the highest possible upside, you can play these Swiss events and then you're guaranteed a draft and three rounds.
Okay, so you're not going to get limited. It looks like even if you lose all, it's every game, you're going to You get at least two of these cube tickets out of a Swiss draft.
That might be a new prize structure.
The only reason I know is I have it up in front of me right now. Let me just give it to you quick, Chris. So to enter a holiday Swiss draft, you can pay, I believe it's 10 cube tickets to get into a Swiss.
Now, is it 10 cube tickets and two regular tickets?
So entry options include 8 event tickets or 2 event tickets and 10 cube tickets.
Okay.
So it's either 8 event tickets or 2 event plus 10 cube. And it says first place is you get 2 booster packs and 12 cube tickets. That's single elimination draft, ignore what I said. Match points of 9, so I guess 3 wins. You get 16 mm-hmm. cube tickets and a qualification point. And a really cool badge. 6 match points, you get 8 cube tickets. Match points of 1 win, you get 4 cube tickets. If you are El Succo, get Zippo, you get 2 cube tickets. Which I kind of like that. I know I'm putting in event tickets to it, but theoretically after 5, it's going to be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, and you'll probably win a match here and there.
Yeah, so
making it a little bit cheaper.
That seemed... From me, from a kind of a newer player, just like you said, I don't really care about winning packs. I just want to play draft with crazy cards. That seemed like not a bad way to do it. So I kind of appreciated that.
One thing worth noting is that currently the cube tickets are not tradable. So if you don't use all that you have, they have no value to you until the cube is offered again.
Okay, so they just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like the gold border cards.
And would there be any other formats, Chris, besides Cube that you really feel are kind of unique to MTGO, or they may exist in paper, but MTGO just makes them much more easy to access? I'm thinking something like Momir Vig, which theoretically you could do with paper. I only have ever, came from MTGO, and that's where it's fun to play.
Yeah. Momir, I actually saw maybe it was on Salvation or like one of the free articles on Star City or something. A gentleman put together a binder for Momir, and then you rolled dice based on whatever level of the activation that you're doing, and you could play with the binder, which seemed kind of like a backward way to do it, but it's kind of interesting. But yeah, Magic Online has a decent amount of specialty formats, and it also makes some paper formats that are unattainable, like Legacy, something that like a standard player could easily switch into if they just did well.
Why, just for me to learn, why would that be? Why does MTGO make that a much easier transition?
Well, there's no reserved list for Magic Online. Something for a long time, the folks at Wizards didn't really make the older sets on Magic Online accessible after a certain date. So at a certain point, they phased out Mirage Block, and they had like this big farewell thing, and they said, we're only going to offer old sets limited at certain points. And like Invasion Block was really expensive a long time ago. I don't know if you remember that from when you first played Magic Online.
Yes. Even that was already starting.
Yeah, like Pernicious Deed was over $100 for a long time.
Exactly. I remember it being... And because I was looking at my cards, like, I think I had some packs from then, because I jumped in when it first came out, and I was like, damn, I had some from the set, but I did not have a deed to sell and, get a new suit. Something like that.
Well, with the version 3 release of Magic Online, they started integrating these older sets into limited play a lot, and all of these card values have come incredibly down. Like Pernicious Deed, I think, is like $15 now.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. for a long time, when I first started playing Magic Online, bulk rares from Invasion Block were like a dollar plus a piece, no matter what they were, just because they were so scarce. And they had Invasion Block drafting during one of their promotional periods. And now you can find bulk rares from Invasion for like 5 or 6 cents.
Oh, because that makes the Commander player me warm and fuzzy to hear, you know, 6 cent bulk rares.
Yeah, but that I'm kind of getting off topic, because back to the reserve list. Like, in paper, they can't print any more Moxen or Time Twisters or Force. I don't know, maybe if Force of Will is on it, but, you know, there's that large list of cards they just can't reprint. And they found kind of like ways to get around it with these promotional foils and stuff, but you still don't like have Caracas in a booster pack anymore.
Yes.
On Magic Online, they have the Masters Edition, which is kind of like a greatest hits through the older sets.
Good point.
And they can go ahead.
No, I'd say no. Good point. Though I was thinking of something that's unique to MTGO. I completely forgot about the Masters Editions packs being, you know, crazy collections of stuff to use.
Yeah, like you can open. It's actually kind of funny because cards like Imperial Recruiter, you open that in a pack and you're like, oh, I didn't get the card I wanted to get.
Where you're like, no, that's like paper, $250.
Yeah, on Magic Online, that's like $1.75 or $2.75 right now, I think. And the there are just all these cards that have that are very scarce in paper that on Magic Online you can buy for under $5 because they aren't the they come in sets and they aren't the most desirable cards in those sets. Like, they get packaged with sets that have dual lands, and people want dual lands a lot more than they want Imperial Recruiters, or they want like Force Will a lot more than they want Moat. So Moat is like a $3 or $4 card.
That's if Chris of Wizards is not giving you money to promote MTGO, they should, because you are consistently selling me as we go through this, and $3 Moats does it.
Well, the actual play experience definitely helps make up it for the financial boon of Magic Online.
That's
unless
okay.
You
I'll put a cutout of Kristen Bell or something behind the screen. We'll be fine. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, I know. We have about 7.5 minutes left. I had one big question left I wanted to ask. Is a lot of people have heard of the MOC, the Magic Online Championship Series, and I think a lot of people are a little, including me, and that's why I say everyone that includes me, just so people know out there. Kind of exactly what this is, and I'm reading the official page for the Magic Online Championships for this upcoming year, and they mentioned the 2011 champion is, I guess, is how does this fit? Because I know they have things like PTQs on Magic the Gathering Online. Is this something completely different from that?
Well, when you were looking at the cube draft payout, you might have noticed that first place position got one QP, which is a qualifier point.
With the stochastic.
Those qualifier. I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
You know, they have a really badass looking little badge for it.
Yeah,
man.
It's like one of the planeswalkers, and it says season whatever around it, and they go into a special part in your collection that is actually very counterintuitive to find, but that's a whole other story. When you play events and you win or you do really well, like if you top 8 a premier event, or you go 4-0 or 3-1 in one of the daily events, which are just 4-round events that fire around the clock on Magic Online, you get qualifier points. And once you hit, currently the threshold is 15 qualifier points, you get an invitation to this end of season, which is like, I think every 5 weeks they have a season, maybe it's 6, around there.
Yeah,
a little
I think
bit more
4
than
weeks or something like. Yeah, but you're right. They have these like seasons that go throughout the year.
And at the end, they have an invitation only tournament that, if you have at least 15 qualifier points, you get invited to. And then currently, you can get buys for more than 15. I think it's every 10 past 15 that you get a buy to this big invitation only tournament. So it's kind of like a cross between a Grand Prix and a Pro Tour. So it's definitely not as exclusive as a Pro Tour. but it might be a little more exclusive than a Grand Prix because not everyone can pay and play.
Okay, and you're right. It's a 12 seasons, and in the formats range from mod. This was for this year, so it's almost at the end. But include things like modern, Innistrad block, standard, M12 sealed, M13 sealed. So a pretty wide range of events. And I just want to point out some of the prizes they hand out for these kind of final tournaments that go through this, like the last chance qualifiers. Pretty cool. Like first place, you get a invite to this MOC and one complete premium foil set. Like that's kind of, it seems cool coming from a paper Magic set. Like that sounds awesome.
You actually, they have end of release event championships that have prizes like that too. I believe that for every set, they have an invitation-only tournament for people that do well in certain events, and you compete for packs and sets, and like the first place is always four foil sets of whatever that format is,
okay.
Or whatever that set. But the MOCS feeds into a very exclusive 16-person tournament, I believe. It might be 12-person tournament that they used to hold at Worlds for Magic Online players only, and then like after they're done playing Worlds during the day, they would sit in front of computers and compete in this special tournament, and the prizes are pretty stacked. I think it's like $4,000 just for showing up.
Okay. Well, that's what it seems kind of cool. It's nice that they have a way to maybe participate in, it sounds like, a professional level of competition, but be able to do it all virtually, you know, depending on your accessibility or your location. That seems pretty cool.
Except for the very final tournament, they fly everyone to the location that they have it.
Okay, so that might be that you're interacting with a human being at some point by the end if you're in that big final tournament.
Yes, but not when you're playing because you're still in front of a computer when you're playing.
That's kind of cool and sad at the exact same time. All right, guys, you've all met to your cubicles. Nope, no talking.
Exactly.
You can wear your PJs. We don't care. Just got to – all your bits got to be covered. Have fun.
I think that they have to wear pants at that event, which is counter to many Magic Online players.
That's kind of part that would be sort of fun of it. Like I can be in, I have this one bathrobe I've had for like 15 years, so it's been washed to just a haze. You know, it almost looks ethereal, ephemeral, almost to a point. But it's really comfortable, so it'd be fun to be able to play in that.
Well, you can with Magic Online and not be ridiculed.
Yeah, so I'm gonna. Chris, you've answered my questions. You have sold me. I'm going to give this a try. Wizards will get $10 of my money. If you had, we have about 2 minutes left. Do you have any maybe last couple of tips? And then maybe if you want to get any feedback, either your Twitter handle or email before we end the show?
Well, MTGO Academy has tutorials for the Magic Online client. Unfortunately, we have no beta client tutorials yet because the beta is changing a lot, and before that energy gets invested, I want to feel like it's pretty stabilized. But if you go to mtgoacademy.com/tutorials, you'll find all of the version 3 tutorials that we have. If you are interested in playing Magic Online, I would recommend do not open the Planeswalker format deck unless you are sure that you want to play with them, because that
90
back,
seconds
it's like getting a tattoo. And
sweet.
Then you should probably also look into selling the booster that comes with your pack and using the tickets that you get from selling that booster to buy singles.
Okay. All right. And if people want to maybe to contact you or learn more, where should they hit you at?
Well, I'm pretty active on our Twitter, which is just at MTGO Academy. And then we have contact information on our website. Or they can email me, chris@mtgoacademy.com.
Perfect. And if anybody wants to give feedback about this show, Chris, was it okay being on a lifestyle show?
It's a little stressful, but I have this nice cup of tea that's been keeping me calm.
That's great. And if anybody wants to email me, I am Tom. I am Pitimp, P-I-T-I-M-P at mtgcast.com. And we'll plan to be recording at this 8 p.m. time on Sundays, either once a week or once every other week. I'll let you know when that's coming up. And your homework for both you, Chris, and everybody listening in my last 20 seconds is my B-movie recommendation is a movie called Future Force, filmed in 1989, stars Robert Carradine. And I particularly recommend is going to Riff Tracks. These are the MS, Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys. And they did an amazing job in this movie with more autoerotic asphyxiation jokes than you can shake a stick at. So go buy that.
I have a friend that's very into B movies. I will pass it on.
Oh, and the show is, people can still hear us, but it's no longer recording. But yeah, no, it is. My friend Chad is sitting here wondering what in the world I'm blabbing about, but it was phenomenal, some of the jokes that they pulled out on this thing. Did you ever watch Mystery Science Theater 3000 when it was still on or caught any episodes?
That's a cable show, correct?
Yeah, initially, actually, the reason I'm such a big fan is it actually was filmed, initially was basically public access from my area. So we actually, they went to my high school. They were from a different age, but they were very local.
You're in like the non-Minneapolis, Minnesota area?
Yes. So we actually got to know about then. It got picked up by Comedy Central then and went on for like 8 or 9 seasons. Went on for a long time. So it was a cable show. Actually, it was oddly popular. If you haven't seen one of the episodes, it basically they took old crappy movies and these three guys, they were in the TV show, two of them were puppets, but they're all three were guys, and they would just make fun of the movie. And they were very skilled comedians, so they did a good job of doing this. But of course,
like constant ridicule or like semi critique.
Oh no, constant ridicule, like just mean. Like David Carradine, you know, first thing up, you know, you see the title starring Robert Carradine, and the one guy first quote out of his mouth is, "How did they rope him into doing this film?" And of course, the other two guys start booing at him.
Yeah,
and it didn't stop there. It was fairly impressive. And so the
Future Force,
1989 with Robert Carradine. But the premise of the movie is it's 1989 trying to portray sort of dystopian America in the mid to late 90s, because in the late 80s crime was going through a big wave. So everybody think of like RoboCop and stuff. There's all these movies being made about how to control crime. So this movie's premise was that privatized it. So it became, all the cops are now cops, C.O.P.S., which is for civilian operated police systems. Basically they're vigilantes where they changed the way that people were, basically they just had this list and you could either be brought in dead or alive for most crimes. Pretty much everything was labeled as treason. And so Robert Carradine supposedly was their most effective cop. You know, he has this big pot belly. He can't walk very well. Very unbelievable at this point. And that's basically the entire premise of the movie.
But you don't recommend the movie, just the Mystery Science Theater 3000 version.
That's definitely, the best way to experience it. If you are a true B-movie aficionado, I think you would still... Usually, I think most people that really love B-movies, they do that kind of in their own heads. That's why you watch those movies, because they're so poorly done and the shots are poorly framed and they're way too long and just everything you can think of being wrong in a movie are present in these, and that's why they're entertaining. But if you can go
ahead... I think the last B-movie I saw was like a claymation gore kung fu movie called Ricky O, The Story of Ricky. And like it started off with a scene and you could tell that they already had like tried to film the scene because there's blood everywhere and then it disappears. And then they have like cut in the pre-blood, and then there's like the bloodbath scene.
Oh yeah, so very poor continuity.
Like, stuff like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I think it makes it a much more fun experience to listen to the Riff Tracks version. And it's Riff Tracks, which is RIFFTRAX.com. Cool thing about Future Force is it's video on demand, so when you buy it, it's like I think $9 or $10. It's the full movie with their extra track on it, so you can download it to your iPad, you can stream it, you can burn it to a DVD, pretty much watch however you want.
So you get like both, you get the movie and then you get the additional audio that goes over the movie separately.
Exactly. They also have what they call, how it started their website was called Riff Tracks, where they only sold an MP3 file, which was their audio commentary. So you actually had to sync it up with the movie that you're watching so they could do new movies. You know, here's us making fun of Batman. But to be honest, it's such a pain in the ass that you never do it. So I only buy the video on demand ones. And it's we're going to be watching soon. They also had a Boy in the Plastic Bubble. Chad, who's in the Boy in the Plastic Bubble? John Travolta. It's one of his earlier movies in the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. So they made fun of that one, so I'm pretty sure they're going to be pretty brutal on John Travolta.
I'm at this website right now. I'll definitely check it out a little bit more.
It was
a pleasure talking with you again after these long couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. I should have said at the start of the show, but yeah, Chris and I actually did meet once in person at kind of this weird event held by Sony to promote, I believe it still exists, kind of. God, what was it?
Do you want to do some research for this? Because I could not find any evidence that it really exists.
Oh, really? I thought like 6 months or a year ago, so it was still a ways back. And I found I could still download the client, but as far as I understand, it's completely gone. And I can't remember what the name of the game was.
The Tactics version of Magic the Gathering.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think it was probably just Magic. Yeah, just Magic the Gathering Tactics. But that was an experience.
You know, it's kind of, have you ever been to any other, I don't know if you want to call it, business sponsor
PR event?
Yeah, I've never been to one before, and I haven't been to one since.
I actually got invited while you're taking a break from Magic to the Community Cup. So I went to a Wizards PR event.
See, I've always been pissed. I never got invited to that thing. And I was like, what the hell? What do I have to do?
I don't really know. They never told me why they invited me. I did, like, a lot of player... I talked to a lot of people and sent in feedback and kind of, like, organized a Fringe format community for a while.
Okay.
But then, like, I also help run MTGO Academy and do stuff on there, so I have no idea why I got invited. Maybe the show will be enough, but it's definitely Magic Online centered. It's the Magic Online Community Cup. So,
oh, good point. There you go. Well, if they called me, if it was a
take that
one,
I'd
be like, hey, can I bring my baby? And then I would just hear silence as they hung up on me. Like, yes.
You should actually talk to Conley about it because he went to the last one.
Yeah, I was very excited when they picked him. So I'm like, well, he's a perfect choice in pretty much every fashion you can think of.
Mm-hmm. Luis went to the one that I went to, and I felt the same. Like, you get like a weird slice of the different type of people that play Magic. Like, they invited a person that was really into beta testing, and he, his name's Joe, and he, like, helps run their beta testing, basically. And he's not paid. He just loves to beta test Magic and, like, really enjoys the game. And then they invited a fellow that also was really active in the forums and just always answered beginner questions. And then they have them, like, with pros and people that work at different websites and stuff. It was pretty fun.
That's kind of a neat mix. Like, it sounds like you're involving the community, which hopefully it's in the name of the cup.
Well, anything else?
No, Chris, I will let you escape. Thank you again for joining me. And down the road, if you ever want to join us again, as long as you don't need like prescriptions to get through it, you're obviously more than happy to join us in the future.
No, I loved it. If you ever have a topic that you think that I'd be good for, shoot me an email or a Twitter message.
I think we'll be following up because I'm going to be jumping into this with both feet. So maybe in a couple weeks to a month, we'll have you back on and can be like, here's how I failed. How can I stop failing?
You can also send me messages on Modo. My username is horrible, but it's Chris Cool with Cool like the cigarette brand.
C, is that C-O-O-L or K?
You don't know Cool Cigarettes?
Now I quit it by not picking it up, man. I quit it by not starting.
Me too.
So honestly, I don't know how it's spelled.
Well, K-O-O-L.
Okay, so Chris, that is pretty sad.
And you can, if you get online and have any questions, you can buddy me. And if I'm around, I'll try to help you out.
Okay, sounds awesome. And Chris, again, thanks, and we'll catch you next time.
Take care.
Yep, bye. And thank you guys, everyone who's in the live chat window. Thanks for joining, and I'm going to hang it up right now.